You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 6. John and chapter 6. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you that we can be together in your presence. For your good working. God, thank you very much. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done on Calvary's cross to make it all work. And Spirit of God, thank you for making it real and right, making it all workable. Otherwise, God, it isn't going to work. So thank you, Father, for all of this, in Christ's name, amen. In our study, we are in the upper room of the hours, just hours before his crucifixion. And God in Christ is seeking to go and make it real and right for his disciples, for them to have what they have not known. For 3 1/3 years, they have not known. They have been there with him, but they haven't. All they could do is witness it, enjoy the benefits, but they could not have the experience. They never had the experience. And God is now making it clear that his crucifixion, in just a little bit, is going to make possible a reality that is utterly impossible for God in his holy, heavenly, happy person to enjoy, for you to enjoy God's person in a very personal way, always being in God's presence, never out of God's presence. So here we are, God, and that's the Gospel of John, is to make all of that happen. And the upper room, chapter 13 through 17, is to bang home the essential ingredients that are necessary to be understood and experienced by God's people. And he makes it known to his, in a special way, to his special people, the 12, the 11 disciples that are left. Now, here in John chapter 6, God, remember now, the Gospel of John is all about knowing God in a most personal way. That's what it's about. God isn't about us being religious. In fact, all the word religious is negative in the Bible, except for one place, and even that is questionable. It's a negative thing. God, that religion is us doing what we do to make for merit in the light, to give some kind of a consciousness of God that's acceptable to us in a religious way. God is going to make things right in a holy way so that we truly can have a relationship to God that honors him. Now, so John chapter 6, you would recall the Pharisees and all of that, they wanted to know how it is that they could duplicate the people. So when on the high side of things, when they're looking at it in a good way, they want to know, how can we do the same thing that you do? How can we do the works of God? And therefore we come verse 28, 6 and 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's what they wanted to know. They wanted to know to be able to do like the Lord Jesus was doing in healing and food and everything. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work, singular, of God, belongs to God. What is that? In order that you believe on him whom he has sent. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father sent him. Now, so what is the works of translated work? And what is necessary to believe? You need to believe. What can you do to enjoy God's wonderful person in a personal, wonderful way? You need to believe. Now, what, we want to do all this stuff. No. You want to have a relationship that makes it possible for God to do in your heart all this wonderful stuff. It isn't you doing it. So it's a work. Well, what is required, God? Believe. Simply believe. Now, having said that, over if you would please to John 15. God, what are you asking him to believe, to be able to abide? Chapter 15, verse 4, and we did all these things, God. So, and we shared together, down sliding if I can, to verse 9, in the light of all that we've studied. So hang on to that. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, the word continue is the word abide, to dwell in, same as in verse 4, etc. I want you to be able to continue where? In what? Abiding in what? The branch and the vine. Abide in my love. In my love. And we reminded ourselves with some detail, God is love. His person, his character, his attribute. One of his wonderful characteristics, attributes, is love. God's love is God loving. What is God's love? It's God loving. It's God loving. God's love. God's loving. God's love in God. God's love in God, in Christ. That's why Christ died on the cross, to make it possible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants, to have this unique relationship to God. Now, and we're to believe. And the word believe, remember, it's like you're sitting in the pew. You're what? You're resting. You're relying totally upon the pew to be the pew. You aren't looking at it to be an apple pie. You aren't looking at it for anything except to be what it is. It's a pew, a seat, and you're seated on it. That's what you're doing. You're believing it right now. That's the word believe. To rely on, trust in, to rest down on, rely upon, in, being fully confident, persuaded, comfortable in the pew. Letting the pew be the pew. What are you telling us, God? Believe. Allow God to be God. How's that? Let God be God. God is loving. God is love. So we're going to go and look to God. And that's what God, you said, abide, verse 9, remember the end, in my love. Not your love. It isn't your love, so you aren't going to go fishing with your heart and mind trying to find it. It isn't about your love. It's about his love. And that's what you're going to abide in, abiding in his love. And you're going to go and continue to do so, to keep on observing, to keep on looking to, relying upon, trusting in, believing as a branch. And therefore, you're going to go, and when you do so, as you're going to abide in his love, then you're going to be abiding in Christ. And by the way, you know we did all these things. The love that God, the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, houses, holds fast God the Father's love. And God the Son is perfect, imperfect as being perfect man, is resting in God's wonderful person. God is being God in Christ, his perfect humanity. And therefore, God's love. And therefore, what are you telling us, Lord? I made it possible by going to the cross, for you to abide in my love. In my love, as you abide and receive me as your Savior, you abide in my Father's love. I want you to enjoy and rest and be comfortable and understand with great, great zeal, understand the Father's love. God is love. And God wants to be God in the human heart in all of his fullness. God's love is God loving you. God. Now, so they're looking for that, God. That's right. Abide in my love. That's what you're looking for. So, and we shared together that we, what are we doing? We're abiding and keeping in mind that we are in all the different things without stopping to do all that. Remember, the church, the local church, is his body. Christ is the head. The church is his body. Head, body, body. And we share together, to illustration, easy, that all the parts of your body inside of you, all the different parts of them, all the different systems in your body are all harmonizing wonderfully at once. And they're all there. And as long as everything is working, your liver loves your kidneys and your kidney loves your toe and everything goes together, it's all there. It's all very conscious of itself and in wonderfully looking for each thing to give to each part and to receive from each part in the light of the head. That's the body. That's Christ's body. That's what he's looking at. That's what he's developing. That's what he's doing. And that's what he's after, that. I need that to understand that. Because that's what God asking me to do, to understand the relationship I have. Christ is the head. He's my Savior, our Savior and Lord. And we're part of his body, the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, etc., places us, baptizes us, immerses us into the body of Christ as it pleases God to put us into the body, a relationship that God does. We don't do it. We don't choose it. We don't pick it. God does. And he does all of that for us in a most wonderful way. And that body, so it's a body, and God loves the body. Now, keep that in mind, if you would. And remember in Hebrews 12, you may want to turn there just for the exercise. Hebrews 12 again. I could say it again, but... Hebrews chapter 12, keeping in mind... You're going to need this. God, what are you doing? God, remember, God loves the body. When a person gets saved, they get placed in the body. You can't be saved without being placed in the body. Just can't happen. You have to be in a body. That's how you get saved. You didn't ask for it. You don't understand it. That's what God is doing in this age of grace. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, picking up in mind, reminding yourself that in this relationship, God loves his body. And verse 6 again, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So that every part of the body is being treated by the head to be all that it ought to be in every way, shape, and form. If you endure chastening, verse 7, God dealeth with you as with sons. That's because he loves us. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Spanks? Sure we do. God loves us, wants us to grow up and grow straight. Verse 9, but if you be without chastisement, therefore, whereof we are all partakers, then you are bastards, illegitimate children, and not sons. Now God, and all of that, verse 10, verily we do it, for they verily do it for a few days, and we're chastened for a little bit until we do it again. But God, you do it after you do it, the end, middle of verse 10, but he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now that's what you're doing. And we need to be exercised by it, verse 11. So God, you're doing all that. Now that's the body. And also you need, it will help you understand because you got to put it together. God right now died for every human being that ever can be born. Whoever will be born. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He died for all. no matter who, what, when, where, he died for them. That's why we were allowed to be created. Otherwise, we'd be born dead in sin and stay dead in sin. We'd have no hope. God let us be born. He caused us to give us a soul and a spirit, etc. God did that because he died, and we don't have to be spiritually dead. We can know him as our Savior in a most wonderful way. Now, when knowing him as Savior, here's over 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and God loves every one of them. Christ died for every one of them. And some of them, hopefully, I don't know how many, God knows, are really saved. And God died for them. And the people that are really saved are all over the place. They either don't know, don't understand, or are they trying to do the right thing in the right way? Who knows? All different kinds of carnal and fleshly and every mixture and funny views of the Bible and everything. But God loves them. So when I look out at the world and look at the believing church, the local churches, I need to understand that. I'm not looking at all good guys or bad guys or nice people and I need to love them. I don't like you because I don't like your looks and I don't like you. I don't love this side. I think I'll just love this side. You can't do that. And I'm trying to help you say, because you're going to look out and say, well, they aren't lovable. No, they aren't. But God loves them anyway. Christ died for them. And that's how I need to think. I need to understand that. That's what you're telling me. God, hang on. You know all this. Therefore, if you would, in the light of all of these wonderful things, over to John chapter 13. Gospel of John and chapter 13. And picking up, if I may, keeping in mind God, illustration, let me give you another illustration that will help you. Here's a father. The father means he's the father of, we'll give it a pretty good family so you feel comfortable. 18 children. 18. I mean, that's a lot of work, I have to tell you. 18 of them. And here they are. 18. The father loved. Father did them. 1, 2, 3. 18 of them. Okay. 18. Now, and the father is talking to number 17. And he doesn't have names because he just gave them numbers. So all they have is numbers. So now, here they are. Number 17. And number 17, and the father is dealing with him and helping him, and they're going back and forth in a good way. Now, and the father is loving him. Now, number 16 over here and number 3 hate number 17. You know what brothers and sisters are like, don't you? Some of you know that. Oh, whew, it's hard, you know. Who took my thing? Who did this? I mean, you gotta be raised like that. You know, my sister used to, she was horrible to me. I almost tipped a car over once because her and a girlfriend got in the car. My car, my 36 Chevrolet. And they got in the car and they locked the door and they were laughing and clapping. And I was outside, I had to go somewhere, and I reached down and started to pick that car up, as it was back then. It wasn't that heavy. Anyway, I did that. And I dropped it, and finally they got out the other side. Boy, did she irritate me. Now, my point. 16 and 3 don't like 17. But the father loves 17, and he loves 16, and he loves number 3. And you know what? Number 17 needs to understand, even though they took the extra cookies, number 17 is a she, and she took the cookies that belonged to 16 and number 3. And even though she took them, she has to understand that she has to be on, if she's going to be in right with her father, she's going to have to go and love 16 and 13, even though she took them, and that's why she took them, because she didn't like them. When 16 and 3 need to love number 17, because the father's loving them. And the whole point is, all 18 of us, the father loves us. So we may not get along, we may have whatever, but to the degree and measure we have that internal problem is the degree and measure we miss out on the Father's love, because the Father loves all. That doesn't mean it's all hunky-dory and everything. It doesn't mean that. What it means is you understand that Christ died for them and loves them. And that's where you're coming from. That's where he's coming from. And you're to abide in his love. Do you understand that? That's what you do. You abide in that love. God said, if you want to get along, the Father says, if you want to get along with me, you love 16 and 3. And 16 and 3 better fix it with 17. 17 better give back the cookies, etc. You got it? So all of that exists. But God said, you are not going to enjoy, you're not going to be my disciple. I'm going to read it. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, picking up, please, in verse, I got the wrong page. 13. 13 and 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So this is the commandment. And this is my love. Not the law, Old Testament. It's my love. It's a relationship to Jesus Christ, who's the head. And he loves the body. He loves his body. He died for them. They have a unique relationship to God to bear evidence to who he is. And therefore, love, that's a command. It's a new thing. Here's the law, and here's all the Ten Commandments, here's everything. But I want you to go and understand, we got a whole new thing going. You're going to go and understand and abide in my love. And when you abide in my love, you're going to love everything I'm loving. How are we going to get along? You can't hate something I hate. I mean, I love. You can't do that. You want an agreement with me. Therefore, God, the evidence, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? If you love one another, how are they ever going to know? Where's the evidence that we're all of one body? By our understanding, our love. Love, life, Lord. Oneness we have. That's it. What other evidence is there? You join the club, join the Hawana Elks or something else, whatever. You want to join people, join things, and be club members? Then they're club members. They can have the same uniform on something. That's true. But how are we going to know who belongs to God? By the love they have. They all understand they have the same Father. The same Father. Back then, my sister knew I had a father, the same Father. And I knew we had the same Father. So we didn't have a problem. There's only one Father. Ours. Aaron F. Parsons. That's what we had. That's what we did. We had no question about that. We may do whatever, but that's one Father. Now God, that's what we're saying. How are people going to know that you're our disciples? By the love that you have one towards another. Now, so therefore, over in chapter 15, and chapter 15 again, and in verse 12, we share together, this is my commandment, that you love one another. You keep saying it, God, that's right. That you love one another as I have loved you. As God's loving you, you're to understand God's loving them. That's what you're doing. It isn't a question of you feel it or you like it or you want it. You just can't be in a body like that. I can't have, using the bulletin as a silly thing, here's my what do I have? My pancreas, I always use my pancreas. Here's my pancreas. Here's a pancreas out here, and I already have one, and this pancreas says, I'm going to retire. So this pancreas retires, and here comes this new pancreas. And this new pancreas says, listen, I don't mind coming in to the body. I don't mind coming in. I'm a pancreas, too. I come in, but you know, I looked over here at the liver and all these different things that connect to me, and that I do that. I did that. Yeah, I don't like them. I don't like them. I don't like them. This pancreas doesn't like it's in the middle of over here. Is that where the pancreas is? Over here, and you got all of that in there, and it doesn't like it. It doesn't like where it is. It doesn't like. I used to belong to a different liver. I don't like your liver. I don't like your liver. I just don't like your liver. Now, in the light of that, here's the liver. And the pancreas says, I am not comfortable being in this body. Can the pancreas get away with that? No. No, it can't. The pancreas cannot get into this body. Unless it's going to be in full agreement with the head. Do you understand? The pancreas had better agree with the head. 1,000%. And then it can get in the body. Because it's going to have to mesh with all of these parts. You got it? And that's what has to happen. Now God, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is my commandment. And therefore, in the process of doing that, and so therefore, the result is going to be, remember, in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And what is the commandment? To believe and allow God to be believing and abiding. And God, as we do that, God's going to go, and we're going to go and love him. And when we're letting God love us, then God's love is abiding in us, and it's God's view of the whole 18 people, family. When you go to Joe's sweatshop or whatever it is, and you work there, and here's the CEO or the owner of the people, and you know what? They're concerned about all the different parts of the body. People down there, this is, and doing that. And they're all concerned about them. And everyone's supposed to be doing their thing in order to produce, to manufacture, to make a product. And they have to do that. And they have to understand the head up here, the owner, he has a plan. And he cares about each part being put in the right place. In as it's manufactured, each piece has to go in the right place. And someone that's working down here say, I don't want to put it there. They have to put it there. It's the plan. It's the business. It's the owner. You have to do what the owner says. You work for him. And when you're in the body, you have to honor the head. And you're going to be saved, then you got to honor the Savior. And that's what you have to do. That's all there is to it. That doesn't mean everyone's wonderful. I share that with you because I know that's what you're going to think. Say, how many people do you really love? And you don't. How's that? But what you do, as you abide in Christ's love, you'll know what love is. Love is God. Love is God saving your soul and making you whole. And as that happens, it's going to overflow. And God made all the humans I work with, go to school with, I live in the neighborhood, people that come and do bad things, God loves and died for them. That doesn't mean you don't have to go and do stuff sometime in war and everything else to protect yourself. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean you understand it. And that's what you're living with. That's how you live your life, in your heart and head. That's how you think. And that's important to understand that. Because God said, without it, you can't be my disciple. So now, down. I got to move quickly. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, look at the end of verse 12. As I have loved you, and now you're going to go, as I have loved you, and then he's going to say, and make it very clear, greater love hath no man than this, I am laying down my life for you. That's what I'm doing. And no one has more love for you. I am willing to die for you, to save you. And you make it clear, I did, he said. I told you guys, my hour has come, I'm going out and be crucified. Greater love hath no man, than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, on behalf of his friends. No one do that. Greater love. And by the way, in this little phrase, in the end, no man hath greater love than this, that a man lay down his life, his breath, his breathing. He stops breathing for his friends. You have to have, boy, you better have some kind of love for somebody to stop breathing. And God's saying, listen, do you understand what I'm going to do? I'm going to go die. And there's no greater love. Don't look at mother, father, brother, sister, or anyone else. You'll never find it anywhere else. Overjoyed to see this and lay down my life for my friends. Now, over to chapter 10 for a moment. You'll pick it up very quickly, the phrase, and what God is saying. John chapter 10. And may I go, please, to verse 11, going directly in the light of the context. Chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and here's your expression, giveth his life for the sheep, on behalf of the sheep. That's what he does. Now, you want to see it again? Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what I'm doing. Again, 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I lay it down. I have power to lay it down and power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, God, what do you say in John chapter 15 and verse 13? Without doing it all at this point, John chapter 15 and in verse 13, greater love than this, that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then you go verse 14. And now after he says this, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You're my friends. You can't abide in my love unless you're honoring where I'm going. I love all 18. I love everything I'm doing. I love what I do, the way I do it. All things work together for good. What I do. So you've got to love God and the way God does things, wants things, and does them. And you got to love him. But it doesn't work out in my life, my family, my friend. No, it isn't a question of your family, your friends. It's about your own heart. And God's wonderful plan and will, he died for all of them. So it isn't a question of somebody picking and choosing. God doesn't have favorites. What happens is that a guy like David, why did David get picked? Because he had a heart for God. Solomon didn't have a heart, not like David. Why does one get it? Because they have a heart for God. And God's able to do wonderful things for them. Now, so here, therefore, you are my friends. If you do whatever I command, you are my disciples. All men will know when you're my disciples, and you're loving one another, the world's going to say, Do you see that? Do you see them? Yes, see them. See how they work together, love together, work day and all that. Wow. See that? Uh-huh. And by the way, not only as you keep my commandments will all men know that you're my disciples, but you'll be my friends. As you keep my word, you will be my friends. Hang on to that. We aren't going to get very far, but a little. Now, you are my friends. Uh-huh. That's an awesome thing. Now, God, here we are looking, and the word friends, what is a friend? And you have your friends, and we talk about friends and everything. You know, we use all of those things. And verse 4, I'll read verse 14 to tie it. You are my friends, as I said, if you do whatever I command. Now, so therefore, you're going to be, if you're going to honor my word and do and love me, you're going to have to let me be God in your heart, loving you, and you're going to love my word, what I want. You're going to let me be, back to, God's love is God loving. God's love is God loving. God in the heart, letting God be God. That easy? Letting God be God. And therefore, he's outworking all the 2 trillion galaxies. He's outworking everything on planet Earth, the Russians, the Arabians, the Venezuelans, and the New Yorkians, and each of them. We got them all. And that, you're letting God love you, and you're letting God outwork, and you don't panic, and you don't jump everything. You sit tight, because all the stuff has to work out in history and time, and your little life has to work out in its proper place in the picture, in God's wonderful creative plan. Now, having said that, Abraham, over if you would please, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles, if I can get there, and chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 7 directly. Here's Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat's concerned about everything coming out all right, and he needs help, he needs to be protected. And in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 3, and here comes the enemy. Okay, now, and verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen and the Gentiles? And in thy hand is there not power and might? Is that none so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou, verse 7, our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham? Why Abraham? Abraham was your friend forever. He's your friend. We're of the seed of Abraham. Abraham, not we're your friend. He's your friend. Hang on. We aren't going to get very far, but a little. He's your friend. Pick it up again. God, you're going to say that again. That friend business, I am. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, picking up, please, in verse 8, directly, in the light of idolatry. Verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Now, God said that. Isn't that awesome? God said, my friend. Now, hang on. We're never going to make it now. Nope. Now, so here's my friend. Over to Deuteronomy. We'll do a part of it anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, the word friend, you just read, Abraham, my friend, the root, there's a word, a little word that comes, it's called the word love in the Hebrew, love. And out of the love comes friend. So I'll never get it, but I'll say it ahead here. In the what you just read in John chapter 15, verse 13, 14, etc., friend. The Greek word, philos, is the word love. Love, out of love, friend. Friend. That's what you want to get. Old Testament, New Testament. Now, over in chapter 5, picking up, please. In chapter 5, going, if I can, to verse 10. Showing mercy, remember the Ten Commandments, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. There's your little word, verb. We get our word friend. That love me and keep my commandments. Thousands of generations that love me and keep my commandments. We're back to always keeping your word. That's right. Honor my word. Are you honoring my word? How are you going to go anywhere if you don't honor my word? Well, I don't learn it enough. Well, that's why we sit here. That's why we have evening service. That's why we do it. In order to what? Grow. How can we possibly get along with God very much if we don't grow? I need to understand God, the reason God gave you the 66 books of the Bible is to understand him. Now, chapter 5, over chapter 6. Chapter 6, and remember the great Shema, verse 4 of Israel. Hear, Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, verse 4. Verse 5, and thou shalt love, there you are, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be where? In your heart. What are we supposed to do? My word, think of John 15, 7. You abide in me and my words find a home in your heart. That's what you got to do. Chapter 7, right next door. Chapter 7 and verse 9, Deuteronomy. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. There's your little word. And keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. But you got to honor my word. Well, I don't need to know. This is what I think. I meant what I said, and I said what I mean. In the original, I did that. I gave my word. Many copies, but don't be alarmed. Remember all those different ways to look at this. Remember now, Moses, what did Moses come down the mountain? And what did he do with the tablets of the Ten Commandments? They were having a worshiping the calf and all that. What did he do? He threw them and did what? And they all broke up. There goes the word. Oh no, God wrote it again. Do you understand? He sent them down again. So here's your Bible. God, do you want us to know who you are? Absolutely. That's why we got the Bible. With all of its copies and everything, but it's done very carefully and ever so carefully. And we have it. And besides, we're in the presence of God. And so what we're reading, God, you gave this. I did. He did. I did. Well, God, how do I know that God said, listen, I gave it to you. Read it. And look back to me. God, here you are. You've given your word. That's right. Now, are you going to trust me that I gave that word? And you're going to do what? Believe. You're going to believe him. Huh? You're going to believe him. And all of a sudden, that word stands out differently, doesn't it? God said, listen, do I understand what I said? Absolutely. No matter what anyone tries to tell you, I know what I said. I know what I mean. So if you don't mind, look to me and read it and understand I gave that in the original language and I gave you this copy with all of its whatever you want to say. Is it a passive verb, an active verb, whatever you... With all of that comes out wonderful when you really do it. Now, so God, here we are. Back over to John chapter 15. In closing, appreciate your patience. I hope I didn't lose you too much. John chapter 15. And my point, if I can. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. By the way, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Wow. You're my friends. You're my friends. Who's your friend? God. God said, that's my friend. Abraham is my friend. Abraham is my friend. And if you do what I told you, you're my friend. Now, what do you know? You got to put all this together. You know, and remember now, Pontius Pilate lined up with Herod, and they became friends against Jesus Christ. And the Lord, and Pilate with the before the people, Pilate wants to let him go. And the people are yell, crucify, crucify, crucify him. And they yell out to Pontius Pilate, the governor, you're supposed to be Caesar's friend. You're supposed to be Caesar's friend. Honor him. Now, in closing, you got the idea. Now, if you understand the custom of the Roman emperors, the kings of the courts, they always had friends, like Caesar's friend. Caesar had the friends of the different places. And the friends in the courts and the kings, they had generals, they had statesmen, they had men of wisdom, but the friends had a special place. And to be a friend, you have an access to the king, to the emperor, that you did not have as the general. You did not have as a statesman to be a friend. The friend is there. The friend has immediate access. In fact, historically, a friend of the king could go early in the morning to visit the king while he's still in his bedroom. The friend had access, knocking on the door. He still had access to the king. No one else could do that. Who met with the people the most? Who was he most familiar with? His friends. I call you my friends. Do you understand? It's wonderful to be a friend of God. God's my friend. He's my friend. Is he your friend? He's my friend. You know, I have to go to the veterans thing and do all that stuff, you know. And that's one of the things. And then I tell him, I said, you can do it. He said, no, we can't. He's your friend. He's your friend. That's right. He's my friend. I can talk to him. If you're saved, you can talk to him. He's your friend. You have access at any time, to your friend. My friend. Isn't it wonderful for God to say, here we are, God. Would you let us be? Would you put us in the place to grow and to develop that we could be classified as your friends? That's awesome. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, it's just us. So thank you for the patience of these dear people. Encourage their heart and give us understanding, Spirit of God, on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Father, thank you for your wonderful presence and person, God, to make it all come out. God, it's an awesome thing for you to say, you're my friends, my friend. Wow. Thanks. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.